This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Michael Loewinger.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. On Thursday, 6 months into the Israeli-Palestinian war, the United States officially called for a ceasefire.
To stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
And he urged Prime Minister Netanyahu to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home.
This following news from Monday night, when Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, fired on World Central Kitchen aid workers in Gaza.
The victims fled from one car to another, but they were targeted again and then again.
Even though the nonprofit says it was coordinating its movement with Israel's military.
7 aid workers were killed.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the incident tragic and unintentional, also saying, quote, this happens in war.
World Central Kitchen had been distributing 350,000 meals a day.
The WCK has now pulled all of its operations, at least temporarily, from Gaza.
The UN's World Food Programme has scaled back its operations along with two other humanitarian organizations, Project Hope and UNRWA, American Near East Refugee Aid.
This is the first time in 56 years that we've had to pause operations.
Rebecca Abu Shadid, an UNRWA board member, speaking to NPR.
It's also the first time that we've lost a staff member, Musa Shawa, in an Israeli missile strike. There have been almost 200 humanitarian aid workers that have died in the past 6 months.
That death toll includes at least 176 employees of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Administration for Palestine Refugees in the Near East. Founded in 1949, the organization manages education, health, and many other services for some 6 million Palestinian refugees across the region. With over 13,000 UNRWA workers in Gaza, it was by far the largest group working with Israel to bring in aid to the Strip until last week.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says Israel will no longer allow their food convoys from entering northern Gaza, where people are dying of hunger.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is now calling for an end to UNRWA. He also specifically is accusing UNRWA officials of being complicit in the October 7th Hamas attack against Israel.
I was there in Israel at the time. It became the only subject people talked about for about 3 weeks, I imagine.
Mehul Srivastav is a correspondent at the Financial Times, where until recently he served as Jerusalem bureau chief.
The idea that somebody who was on the payroll of a 75-year-old agency whose job is to care for Palestinians had maybe taken part in some of the atrocities against Israeli citizens on October 7th kicked off a pretty furious news cycle.
It began on January 26th when UNRWA announced it had fired 10 Palestinian employees who had allegedly participated in the October 7th attacks. These allegations came from Israeli intelligence, and over the next few days, media across the world got their hands on an Israeli dossier.
We saw the dossier, we described it in our stories for our readers. It was a summary of a set of allegations, conclusions that this unnamed intelligence agency had reached. And it had the names of a few people and rather broad allegations against UNRWA at large. But they didn't have any of the supporting evidence.
That's interesting because one of the first articles in the American press about these allegations came from the AP, which referred to, quote, detailed allegations against UNRWA workers. So either the AP had access to something else or they characterized it differently than you are now.
Well, the allegations are detailed. It's the evidence that was scanned in the document that we saw. The allegations were very specific that this person and that person had crossed over into Israel proper, had taken part in this or this atrocity. And there was one indication that it came from cell phone location data and from ID cards that were retrieved from bodies that were found inside Israel after they'd been killed by security forces there. But it wasn't presented as, well, look at this ID card, look at this location data. This is how we reached this very, very damning conclusion about this one individual, and then repeated that process for another 12 people.
Early media reports emphasized other allegations from Israeli intelligence. On January 29th, Reuters ran a story with the headline, Israel accuses 190 UN staff of being hardened militants. The Wall Street Journal's piece on that same day featured the subheading, around 10% of Palestinian aid agencies' 12,000 staff in Gaza have links to militants, according to intelligence dossier.
I can tell you that the documents that we saw did not provide any evidence for these things. Perhaps Reuters or the Wall Street Journal had access to a deeper document than I had. But our understanding from speaking to other people within the Israeli intelligence networks is that at some point during a raid that took place in a certain part of the Gaza Strip, a computer was taken away for examination. And there was a list of members on that. And they cross-referenced that with the employee list that UNRWA has, and reach this conclusion. I've not seen this computer. I've not seen this evidence. This was only described to me by somebody who has spoken to for quite some time. And that's the extent of what the dossier said. It just said, further, we have now reached the conclusion that 190 people have ties to Hamas militants. But it didn't provide any evidence for that.
Tell me about what, if any, other proof has emerged to help corroborate Israel's account since the story first broke.
There's been a small drip of facts that were either presented in Israeli media or in other media that included CCTV footage of one person that was described as an UNRWA employee picking up a body from one of the kibbutzes in the south on October 7th. And then there was later on headshots of all these people who were named that were leaked to the Israeli media, which were their identity photos.
And the Washington Post also reported on this CCTV footage.
We've looked at the same footage, and I know a lot of other people did, and it did match the kind of behavior and activities we'd seen Hamas militants take part in on October 7th.
A couple days after these allegations were first made public, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said during a press conference,
"The reports that we got last week, and UNRWA brought them to us, were deeply, deeply troubling."
He went on to say,
"We haven't had the ability to investigate them ourselves, but they are highly, highly credible."
What do you think he was basing this on?
He's the U.S. Secretary of State. He has access to information that I don't have, especially given the depth of the relationship U.S. intelligence services have with Israeli intelligence services.
This is part of why I wanted to speak with Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland. When we spoke on Monday, I asked him about Israel's claim that 10% of UNRWA is affiliated with Hamas or other militants.
I have looked at the U.S. intelligence on this, and let me just say that my interpretation of that is that that claim has been totally overblown, and I will leave it at that.
You got to give me more than that.
I think the evidence is insufficient, and I would also make another point, which is that UNRWA, year after year, has provided not only Israel, but the United States, with the names of all of their employees in Gaza, all 13,000. Israel has a very capable intelligence service that can always vet those names and report any concerns to UNRWA. With respect to the up to 14 members of UNRWA who may well have been complicit in the horrors of October 7th, absolutely, they need to be investigated. They need to be fully held accountable. But the reality is that we shouldn't punish 2 million innocent Palestinians in Gaza who rely on UNRWA to provide that desperately needed assistance because of the terrible alleged acts of 14.
Last month, Congress passed a bill that will ban U.S. funds for the agency through 2025 as part of the last-minute spending bill. Although he opposed it, Senator Van Hollen voted for the bill, he told me, because he wanted to avoid a government shutdown.
Many of my colleagues have fallen for the big Netanyahu government lie, which is that UNRWA is somehow a proxy or an agent of Hamas. This is just pure nonsense. Netanyahu has been trying to get rid of UNRWA since about 2017, right? Long before the most recent allegations arose. The person on the ground in Gaza who is the main point person for UNRWA is actually a U.S. Army vet, about a 20-year vet in the U.S. Army. I've met with him personally. I can assure you he is not an agent of Hamas.
Still, Israeli officials say they can no longer let UNRWA aid into northern Gaza, and that aid in general is scarce because Hamas is taking it.
It's a Palestinian that spoke with an Israeli officer who said so.
IDF Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus on NBC.
That he sees UNRWA workers that are controlled by Hamas and that Hamas goes into UNRWA facilities and takes food. Food that is paid for by U.S. taxpayers' dollars.
President Biden's U.S. envoy in the region has said that Israel has not provided American officials with evidence of the claim that Hamas is stealing aid. Mehul Srivastav of the Financial Times doesn't believe it either.
There is no overwhelming evidence to support that allegation. We have seen isolated incidents where there's been video on social media of perhaps somebody who may be tied to Hamas being involved in maybe one convoy or one truck. I would say this. At this moment right now, there's several different battles that are going on. There's the actual fighting between the IDF and Hamas militants. There's a diplomatic battle going on at the UN, at the ICJ, at other places. And there's a media battle going on. And the Israeli army has had for a very long time a very well-developed and very effective media outreach program. And this is their point of view, that the reason people in Gaza are hungry right now is because Hamas is stealing the food.
The media battle that Mehul Srivastava described rages on in Washington, D.C., where advocates like Senator Chris Van Hollen have used the press to try to alter the course of the war. You've been on quite a media tour. You've been on Face the Nation, CBS, MSNBC.
We need to focus on getting the hostages back and a ceasefire. And this is why I'm for a ceasefire.
We have a situation where Netanyahu continues to essentially, you know, give the finger to the president of the United States. And we're sending...
Who are you trying to reach by doing these interviews? The president? What's your goal?
Look, obviously, I hope to influence the president and the Biden administration. I've been critical about the fact that they have not used effectively all the tools they have to try to enforce the president's own demands on getting more assistance into Gaza when you've got people who are dying of starvation, literally. Until the president's demands, requests have been met, it doesn't seem to make sense to be giving a blank check to the Netanyahu government in the form of additional bombs and other kinds of equipment.
Do you think we will give that blank check anyway?
Well, right now, the Biden administration has decided to send more bombs. In my view, they essentially, once again, found a way to do an end run around the congressional notification process. The congressional notification process provides an opportunity for concerned members of Congress to weigh in against any proposed transfer. But by structuring these latest transfers the way they did, the Biden administration has done an end run around that process.
Senator, I'm just trying to understand what motivates you personally. Why are you devoting so much time to this issue, given how controversial it can be for a member of Congress to repeatedly accuse the president of Israel of lying? What's driving you on this fight?
Well, I do believe we have to be true to our values and our principles, and that we cannot apply them only to our adversaries. We have to also apply them to friends and allies. And if we don't do that, we will lose credibility everywhere around the world, which is what I'm afraid is happening right now as we speak. If we want to argue that we stand for democracy and we stand for human rights, that we have to fight for those principles no matter what the circumstances are. And otherwise, we are justifiably accused of applying double standards and being hypocrites. And so I stand with the president in supporting Israel's right to self-defense in the aftermath of October 7th. But how it conducts a just war matters, and it needs to be conducted justly.
Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christopher Van Hollen is a senator for Maryland.
Coming up, a history of UNRWA includes some shared DNA with Depression-era work programs.
This is On the Media.